Hello and welcome to another episode of The Apprentice Window Cleaner with Tom Navarro today, who has been a guest before, and we've had some great episodes with Tom back in when we first started. Apologies again, it's been a while. Tom, do you want to just introduce yourself again and say hello to everybody?
Hello, so yes, I'm Tom Navarro, owner and director of TN Exterior Property Cleaning. We are an exterior cleaning company based in Warton, Norfolk. I'm currently been trading now for around 5 years, I believe, off the top of my head. Going from strength to strength every year. See, from day one, it's very different to now. So, yeah, great to catch up with you again, Max, and looking forward to another good conversation.
Yeah, good stuff. So, we just started going off off-cuff straight away when we started talking to each other. So, we had to stop and say, let's record this, because I'm sure, hopefully, some people will get some nuggets from what we discussed. So, last 2 years, Tom, how's it been going and what have you been up to? What challenges have you had and what wins have you had since we've last spoke?
Challenges are plenty. Yeah, challenges
I know we went straight into the challenges.
Yeah, definitely.
Sorry, mate, I talked over you. The challenges, we've got loads of them, I think.
Yeah, I think every business has their challenges, don't they? Our biggest challenge recently has been employment. Also, coincidentally, our biggest win has been employment as well. Start with the positive. We took someone on. He's now been with us 15 months. Cracking guy. Generally couldn't ask for almost a like-for-like version of myself. He's even got the same name as me. But from a thorough job to organised to great customer service, to reliable, sort of everything you want in an employee, lives locally, no issues with transport or anything like that, just actually like a solid employee.
Do you get on with working with someone like yourself?
Yeah, I get on with him really well. You get the odd niggly bits, which I think is quite common, but that's probably me being me more than anything.
I'm such a dick, I couldn't work with me. I'd just do my own editing.
No. Yeah, that's it. I think I sometimes almost a bit too hard on, not on him, but on myself. My expectations are sometimes slightly unrealistic and I don't even follow my own expectations. I also have this like ideal in my head and there's reality. And it's like you have to try and find a balance that it's somewhere in between the two. I think nowadays with employees, as long as you can get someone that turns up, is hardworking, is well presented to a point and is polite to customers, I think that's the biggest hurdle.
How did you find him?
Anything after that. It was, I think he was on Indeed. Yeah. A random story, actually. I'll cut it down briefly. About 3 or 4 days before he was due to have an interview with us, I was on a job and the van battery died. So I had to get the RAC to come out. So chatting away to the RAC man, he's like, oh, my lad has just moved to Watton. Lovely lad. He's a big old bloke, but he's a gentle giant. Really kind. Da-da-da-da-da. You know, 3 days later, do the interview with Tom. Comes and does a trial, takes him on. I then had to go and drop off some paperwork to him to sign. Walk into his house, looking up the driveway, recognise that bloke from somewhere.
No way.
That's the RAC man. The RAC man, that's his dad. And it was like his weird sort of confirmation bias from, like, he didn't know who I was or anything at the time when he came out to see me. And, certainly proved true.
Have you had to train him from scratch? Did he have any experience in exterior cleaning or?
No, he had no experience in exterior cleaning, but he's one of these people that he's very mechanically minded. So things like pressure washing and stuff like that, he understood. He used to ride motorbikes and stuff like that, so he understands how to turn on a pressure washer. He understands how to use a pressure washer. It's just necessarily technical point, but I mean, like, I would have spent half an hour with him and he knows what he's doing straight away, sort of thing. I think with a lot of exterior cleaning, it is quite common knowledge up until the point when you start to use chemicals and things like that. It then gets a little bit more specific. But yeah, I mean, in terms of training with him, it was very little. I think within a week, he was scraping a roof on his own.
Oh, brilliant.
Local, we had a roof job on, and it was down the end of my road. So I went through, packed the van with him, got everything kit-wise, was all good to go. And it was a case of less than a 30-second walk away. If you need a hand, just call me. And he didn't call, which is great. And he's kind of one of these people that's, you know, he will call if he needs to. If he's unsure about something, he'll call and double check, which I think is great because some people are a bit too keen sometimes. And that's when mistakes tend to happen. I'd always rather someone ask me a question 10 times and it'd be right every single time than assume and then fuck it up, because that's what'll inevitably happen.
See that? I suppose like roof scraping, you could teach most people to do it. It's quite a low skill to entry, but it's everything else around that. Like you say, the common sense bits where if they are stuck or they've got a challenge, they just have got the oust about them to actually give you a call.
That's it. And I think it's about being logical as well with what you do, as much as, you know, common sense is working from the top down. It's, you know, even if there is patio slabs down there, rather than letting the moss fall onto them, lay your tarp out. All right, it takes 5 minutes longer, but you'll save the time on the back end when you've only got to handle it up. And
man, we did it the other day with the team member I was working with, and we're on gravel, and he didn't put the we put the tarp down on the patio and then not on the gravel, and the gravel is such a ball ache to get the moss out of the gravel, isn't it? You know.
So we've learned out the top, little top tip for gravel, especially like little pea shingle gravel. I think it's, where did we get it from? It's like an Argos battery powered leaf blower. They're about 60 quid, McGregor, I think they're called. But they're not very powerful, but they're perfect when it's the moss is nice and dry, especially in the summer.
Yeah.
It won't blow the stones off.
Yeah.
So where you get them annoying little French drains and stuff like that where the moss gets stuck down into it. Get yourself one of them. Honestly, it's probably one of the best things that I brought. We probably use that as much as the petrol one. Yeah, it's just one of them things where you're like, I bought it. I think I went to a job and I forgot one. I was like, oh, fuck, I just have to get this.
Yeah.
And it's like, if the batteries ran out of it in the van, it's heartbreaking. It's just like, oh no. And it's handy. You back out, you know, you can blow out the back of the van after the end of a job. And
that's
a good call. Yeah, great. 60 grit is
an absolute steal. We just lightly rinse it, like the lightest rinse that we can use to put it into a big pile, but it still takes ages. But yeah, that's a good shout. We'll have to try that. But we are tending
to... Yeah, so whenever we... Whenever we scrape a roof, we zero water if possible, because that's when everything starts to take a lot longer. Obviously now we're going into the seasons where it's more damp anyway, it's going to be a bit harder.
You just scraping then?
No, we steam roofs as well, but if we're just scraping the roof, we were saying about like rinsing down stuff and that, we won't get any water anyway. So when we do scrapes, we literally do a scrape, treat, gutter clear, that's it, in and out, one day or half a day depending on the size of the property. When we do steam cleans or pressure washing the roof, it's not bloody steam clean, really, is it? That's then, you know, we wash the roof, we treat the roof, we clean the gutters, we clean all the exterior, then the fascias, UPVC, because you have to, you know, no one can do that to a roof and not make a mess. When we do roofs, our sort of a scrape is our entry price, really. So if someone wants a sort of cheaper option,
I really do find that scraping takes longer. It's definitely harder graft.
It isn't. When I used to do them, and we used to do all the UPVC as well, yes, it would take longer. Most roofs now, we can sort of, the average roof, I can't think of the average roof sizes now, you're probably talking, three beds semi-detached, or front and back roof is roughly around 90 square meters, I think. We can get that done in sort of 3-4 hours scraping, one on the front, one on the back.
Oh yeah, with two of them.
With two people, or even with one person scraping and the other person helping, swapping over. we can normally get that done. You know, we usually get in and out within a day, and that's not a, you know, that's turning up to job sites at between 8:30 and 9:00, depending on location, sort of being back at base by sort of 4 or 5 o'clock. So it's not a long day neither. But I think that comes with time, that comes with technique. It's, you know, using two men to get scaffold tower up, you can get scaffold tower up in sort of 5 to 10 minutes with two people. Doing it on your own, you're talking 20 at least. Most of the profiles now, we will cut our own profiles on site a lot of the time.
Do you?
Yeah, just because the other ones don't fit as well.
That's awesome. How do you do that? What tool do you use to do that?
We just use a jig, so cut basically a piece of cardboard, measure out the face of the tile, and then cut that onto plastic acrylic, and then just cut it out with a jigsaw. Takes a little bit of time, don't see anything. But if you're doing a scrape, and it's especially one where there's a lot of moss or the profile doesn't fit very well, it can be soul-destroying trying to get over the time that you take, going over the roof a couple of times each tile to spend that time cutting it and getting it right, normally outweighs it better.
That's an awesome show. You should definitely do a video on that or something, an instructional video like that. That'll get, I'd watch that, because that is a great shout.
Yeah. It's not particularly difficult to do. I mean, I'd say I'm fairly low skilled in DIY and stuff like that, but I mean, it's a 60 quid jigsaw from Aldi, nothing special, because it's only kind of plastic, doesn't need to be. Normally we used to use chopping boards, just buy cheap plastic chopping boards off Amazon for 3 or 4 quid each, but they've gone up a bit now. But I've just got a water tank for free the other day. It's a really old one that's covered in thick, it's probably 20-30 mil acrylic. So it's 1,000 litre tanks, there's plenty of it on there. So in the process now of cutting that all up, and that'll do us profiles for probably the next 2 years.
And what do you attach that to? Just a normal
scraper. It goes on to exactly the same, the same manufacturer scraper.
Yeah.
We just don't use the profiles as much.
Yeah.
Just because we were finding that they were too inconsistent. I was doing my head in. But obviously we split off. His name, not Freeman's, he's not about anymore, is he?
Marshall's.
Marshall's, yeah. His weren't too bad. They probably fit 60% of the time. But it's the 40%, that's the bugger tiles. They're the ones where you just like, it's really difficult to get it in or anything like that. So in the end, we're just like, sod it. Let's either, one of us will persevere with one while the other one's cutting the two.
Yeah.
And then you sort of pick up pace. But we seem to be doing most, a lot of the roofs we do are the flat tiles. If we scrape, that's always, if it's, like, we done one, touched on Tuesday. Flat tiles, very lightly mossed. That took him 5 hours to do. So I'll always, with them sort of jobs, I will approach it from the point of the customer. You get a feel when you speak to a customer. The first question I always ask them is, what prompted your phone call to us?
Yeah.
So that the way I do that is, you know, is it the look of the roof? Is it the fact of the moss falling on the patio? Have a look around the ground. Is there moss on the floor? If it's a case of the moss falling down and it's not necessarily aesthetic, I'll then ask more questions to find out, you know, not necessarily what's their budget, because it's probably too much of a direct question. But you can, when you're talking to a customer, you can generally get a feel as to why they're calling. And if it's someone that I feel is sort of looking for a quick and easy option, I'll always quote for both services, but I will lean towards a roof scraper for its practical. So the one we done the other day, the guy was in and out, £850, 5.5 hours. Done. And thus, scraping can be a little bit of a chore, but when it works for you, they're the sort of job where it works out really well. If we'd have steam cleaned that, that'd have been a full day, one person probably popping back the next morning to do any tidy up. And yes, we would have got a bit more money, but then it makes it more difficult to book in other jobs as well. So I like to try and, well, booking the jobs is 1 day or 2 days and then we're quite consistent with booking in things and moving forwards with it, if that makes sense.
Do you buy aside the roofs after, or do you high?
Yes.
Yeah.
No, we won't hypo the roofs, just because don't really use the hypo stuff. Product we really use is Nuclear from Pure Seal. And honestly, I don't know how well that works on roofs. I assume it works fine, but for me, bio side's an easier sell. And it does the job, and it does the job well over time. So I never really bothered looking down the other route.
That's cool. Going back to what we said at the beginning, so your biggest win was employment, and then your biggest loss was employment as well. Biggest challenge over the last couple of years, would you say?
Yeah, I think it's just making sure you keep on top of things and making sure that people are pushing in the right direction. There's always something to be said about someone that turns up every day and does a job, but sometimes you need to look at that a little bit deeper. Just because they're turning up and doing a job, it doesn't always mean that it's right. And I think for quite a while I took that for granted. And yeah, now we've changed that. It's worked a hell of a lot better for us. It was all a bit of a risky move. We chopped 20% of our window cleaning customers off our round because of the distance we were travelling to service the work. By the time we took everything into consideration, it really wasn't profitable.
How far were you travelling?
The furthest was, I mean, it was only 15 miles, if that.
Is that it?
Probably not even that in all honesty.
Really?
Yeah. But it's the time more than anything. Just to get from us to the furthest job was probably 40 minutes.
All right.
Because you had to go through a town to get there.
Yeah.
So instantly then you've lost 80 minutes of a day.
Yeah.
You then pick out lunch break as well. And, you know, you then add in talking to the customers, stopping to go to the toilet and things like that. And it suddenly starts jumping up and you're nearly looking at 2 hours a day lost.
Yeah, yeah.
And, yeah, we just had to have a look at it because it was that thing where you think to yourself, we've got all these customers and you think, you know, we're doing all this work and the numbers are looking good and everything like that. But when you actually peel away the sort of layers and you start graining down the numbers and you think, well, at the end of the month, it's doesn't add up, and this, you know, it's the hidden costs within the business that we all sort of forget, the phones and everything else. But it does all mount up, and I think we got stuck in that trap where we were almost getting high in our own supply. That we were like, you know, we're doing all this work, we've got 3 members of staff, we've got 3 vans, we've got this, we've got that, and we're running fuck all. It's, you know, what is the point?
Yeah,
of doing all that. When we went VAT registered, that was a big eye opener for us. And we were just about covering it. Then we hit the VAT threshold just before going into summer, so it was a bit of a false sort of illusion.
Yeah.
So we were fine. Then you go into summer and you're like, boom, you get really busy and you're like, brilliant, this is working out really well. And then you sort of dip off again into the autumn slightly and then into winter. And yeah, we just took our eye off the ball with sort of staff and took things for granted, and yeah, it just comes as a big shock. And there was probably a point of, I think, 2 months in a row where I didn't pay myself a wage. At the same time, in my personal life, we were going through a lot. My son had been diagnosed with autism, and then we had to go through a whole, like, getting him into a specialist school and stuff like that, which for anyone that hasn't had to do is an absolute fucking challenge. My partner then ruptured her Achilles twice in a row. So she was on crutches for 9 months in total. So I was then
twice
going out to work.
Wow.
I was doing a school run.
Yeah, yeah.
I was coming home, I was cooking, yeah. I was cleaning, I was doing everything. And it just took an absolute toll on everything.
I bet.
And, yeah, I mean, there was times where I'd wake up in the morning and, like, if there was an excuse to not go out to work, I was the first one to take it. Always make sure that, you know, people that worked for me were fine and everything, and there was never a particular issue with that. But yeah, I just properly lost all motivation and went back to them things where I was like, well, if I could just do one roof a week and a couple of driveways, that would be like $2,000.
Yeah.
$2,000 a week on my own. Easy life. That would take me maybe 3 days, maybe 4 days. I can have, and you do, you start going through your head.
Like, I think everyone does that. Everyone does that.
And you think, fuck me, that's like the dream. And then you realise that, then you go back to it and go, well, if I hurt myself, who's going to pay my mortgage?
Yeah, if it's your ruptured Achilles, we're screwed.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I had to have a little bit of a sort of wake me up moment with myself.
Yeah.
We looked at the business. We decided to cut window cleans because they just weren't profitable enough for us anymore. They were causing bottlenecks in the scheduling of work. We'd set up a whole carpet cleaning side that really we'd sort of done little bits with and hadn't really gone any further, but it's actually a lot more enjoyable. We can easily do better turnover per day doing that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, 100% better than window cleans.
Are you still doing that at the moment?
So, yeah, we do, well, I do probably like two jobs a month at the moment because we've now gone back into it. We're rebranded. Within all that, we had to restructure the company as well because of the way we were doing things. We had to change from two limited companies restructured into a group now, which is a lot better for us. So we've rebranded one of the companies and that's going to be launching again soon. Once we've got all this sort of windows and stuff tied down. We're going to pretty much be focusing on roofs, driveways, exterior cleaning, the one-off jobs, commercial stuff. We've got a couple of good commercial contracts we'd be getting into with letting agents, which just tick over really nice sort of money we've got up to now. Pretty much the contracts that we've got every month cover staff salary, taxes and everything like that. So that's really nice. Just regular, repetitive, easy work. That's pretty much all window cleaning. And then ad hoc. So they're big sort of big box of flats, not even that big really. But we look after the gutters, we look after the solar panels, we look after the window cleaning. So the window cleaning gets done every 4 weeks. And then twice a year, the other things get cleaned. And it's just nice because you keep on top of stuff. It's not really dirty. You know, if you clean windows every 4 weeks, when you go back there, you know, it's nice and easy to do the next time. And it's exactly the same with other stuff. So that works out really nice for us. So we want to focus on that a little bit more. Just be a bit more sort of selective with our work. And that'll allow us to be more profitable as well. And it'll obviously help with the back end with the office and stuff like that, rather than processing God knows how many invoices per day, chasing payments and doing stuff like that. It is just so much easier.
It sounds like when we say about you, the challenges you've had over the last couple of years, you've had a flipping a lot, really, especially with your home life, which ultimately that kind of rules everything that we do, doesn't it? As like business owners, even if you're, you know, one-man band, let alone with having staff, if you've got stuff like that going on at home, it's challenging. It's hard. It's
Puts
the pressure on you.
Yeah, definitely. And I think a lot of us sort of take it for granted that things are always all right and, you know, everything's sort of going well and ticking along and stuff like that, and then suddenly something happens and it's like a big slap in the face and you think, oh shit, I didn't expect that to happen. And it can happen to, it can literally happen to anyone. A friend of mine was in a very similar situation. He ended up having to shut his business down because his partner had a car accident, and she's now in a wheelchair and he has to care for her pretty much full time. It's just crazy, like things can change in an instant, and it has a massive effect.
Yeah, definitely. I suppose it's massive, and poor. Like at the moment, it is different. Sometimes, you know, people look at us and think, "Oh, you work for yourself. You're exterior cleaning. You're outside. You're working outside." And people probably might have the perception, "Oh, they're doing well," but it's definitely challenging. It's definitely challenging.
100%.
Especially when you have
nothing.
You've got to go out and you've got to answer the phone. You've got to make sure that they're ticking as well. You can't just curl up, can we? We've just got to keep plowing through.
No, that's it. And I think that's something that a lot of people don't talk about enough. You know, there's a lot of talk in the industry about what's the best way to do this and what's the most effective way to clean this and everything else. But I think sometimes people need to, you know, have conversations about, you know, I woke up this morning, I feel a bit not myself, I've gone out of the house and stepped in the dog shit, the van didn't start, or something
that
like that.
That's the worst as well. That's the worst example that you could pick as well, isn't it? Doing that. It's,
yeah, it's so, but that's the thing, and it does happen to people, and I think a lot of people probably think that it is only happening to them. And 100% it is. And it's, you know, there's people that will sit there and post about their holidays and their nice cars and this and that. And we've made, you know, this amount of money per month. And everything's like fucking amazing. And to be fair, it might well be, but I also very much doubt that it's always the case. And in fact, I know it isn't always the case with a lot of people.
Yeah.
I think people get this false perception that, you know, working for yourself and owning your own business and stuff like that is amazing, and it's quite a buzzword at the moment, being an entrepreneur and a business owner and all this. And yeah, you know, it's not always what it's cracked up to be, and I think it takes a lot of mental toughness and mental resilience to be able to push through with that as well. And yeah, I think it just needs to be championed more within the industry and generally within business owners as well.
We win or learn. I see it as, you know, these things are here to challenge us, and we're just learning, honestly. And I know it sounds cliche, but why I call this the apprentice window cleaner is because I do feel like whether it is we're just learning on the job, like, you know, new techniques how to clean, we're learning how to be humans, good humans, and face the challenges every single day of life. And I know it sounds maybe over the top saying that, but flipping hell, I've learned so much as my, you know, my own mental health, my partner's mental health, you know, my teams and stuff like that. It's a big thing, and it takes maturity to kind of be able to deal with it and guide people when you notice the signs as well, you know. Within the last couple of years, my wife, she's been on a cancer pathway, where, you know, the doctor goes, right, yeah, this is signs of cancer, we think you've got it, and she has a small operation, and it wasn't cancer in the end. But for them 6 months where you're driving up to hospital appointments and going to, you don't know your future and stuff like that. And then she works as she's the other director, but she works with like the operations manager in our business as well. And her dad has just been diagnosed with dementia. So quite young as well. And she's an only child, and she's kind of dealing with that. And when you've got, I don't know, either a team member or customer who's giving you something like, this gate's closed, what's going on? Haven't you sent the text? What's it? And you're thinking, flipping hell, there's a lot going on. Of course, yeah, I'll ring the
customer
for you and I'll get it sorted. And when you're at the top, you know, it's more responsibility, and we keep going, but. You know, I think talking to other people in a similar situation is like, almost like we're doing now, a little bit of therapy maybe, I don't know. We're sharing.
Definitely. I think it's, definitely. Stuff like that needs to be shared, man. 100%.
It's all, it's all just learning. It's every single day, you know. New skills, new ways to plough through it, new techniques in absolutely every aspect, isn't it, really?
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
How's your son doing now? Has he got his schooling?
It went remarkably well for a really absolute mission of a process. It went well. The A's at school now, he's all settled in. He loves it. It's perfect for him. You can notice a difference in him when he comes home from school.
Yeah, I bet he's doing better because he's got that attention that he needs, or that, you know.
Yeah, that's it. And yeah, in his case as well, he was very within himself and insular, so he wouldn't necessarily sort of look at him and think, oh, you know, Alfie's autistic or anything like that.
Yeah.
But that was sometimes the problem, because he would hide it quite well. And he, in a busy classroom of 25, 30 kids, he'd quite happily sit in the corner and not make a fuss, whereas all the other kids would be screaming, running up and down, doing this and that. And he'd just be quite happily playing with animals or doing whatever he's doing, and he wouldn't make a fuss. But that then is also a problem, because that makes him not forgettable. That's the wrong word. But you go, oh, Alfie's all right. Alfie's fine. Okay. I'm going to have to deal with Scotty because he's jumping up on the table and doing somersaults off the side. So, yeah, but no, he's great now. So it's good.
My little sister's literally going through, she's got her appointment this week for testing of autism. And she's 14 now, but she's actually bought it to our mum. So I've looked at the signs, I've done the research. I want to see if I've got autism, because, and it is mainly exactly what you've just described as it's mainly shyness. She social places and stuff. She just goes within herself constantly. She's just really reserved and quiet. So it'd be interesting to find out. Well, God, what you've just said, how you've described it. Environment exactly how she is. It's kind of gone under the radar unnoticed. So, bit late, but how's your wife's Achilles? And how did she tear it twice?
The first time she, so you know, you get on the back of patio doors, you get a little hook, the little slot that you hook into.
Yeah, yeah.
She walked back and hit into the back of one of them. So I'd done it the first time, and then the second time was just a brief rupture from over. Well, I don't even think she was overworking it particularly. She had a physio session, they pushed her quite hard, and then about 4 or 5 days later, she just sitting at home on the desk, stood up, said it felt strange, but there was no pain.
Oh, man.
One of the biggest things they get you to do is to sit down and then try and move your foot up. If you can't move your foot up, it's because it's obviously not connected to be able to put it up. So it's like a pretty easily diagnosed thing. So yeah, she's back in.
Do you have life insurance or business injury cover or anything along them lines?
Yeah, so it's covered within our business policy, and I can't remember off the top of my head. It's it covers me up to about £3,000 a month, I believe. And it's it's just like a bolt on to our business insurance for myself. So it's like a director's salary coverage or something. I can't remember the exact terminology of it. It does cover me, but it is quite strict with what it covers you for. So no sporting activities, which I think most of them don't nowadays anyway. Obviously anything at work is covered. Any form of accident where I wasn't at fault.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
And then covers most illnesses as well. And then we have a separate, family medical policy that covers that also as well. So
that's good.
I'm generally covered quite well.
That's good. I've only just 3 years in, got some. So we joined the Chamber of Commerce. I don't know if you've heard of that.
I'm a vice chairman of our local Chamber of Commerce.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Oh, awesome. Do you find it brings you much work?
It does actually. It doesn't for ages, and then all of a sudden it does.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it does work out quite well.
We've got made a couple of contacts and good connections through going to their social events. So they do like garden parties and drinks, stuff like that, you know, throughout the summer. Mainly in the solar panel, a lot of solar panel businesses we found are members and are going to these kind of events. But through being a member, you can get life insurance, which covers your partners. It also covers your kids, and you get a big discount on it. I think we pay something like £19 or £20 a month. And also we can cover our staff as well for it's like £8 a month or something. I know that adds up over the year, but they get gym discounts. They get it covers them for, you know, a certain amount of dental care, eye care for their children. They get a GP 24 hours access, emergency GP. So for £8 a month, I thought, you know what, in this current climate where when you do get good staff, you want to kind of keep them and look after them for £8 a month. It's a massive perk.
Yeah, us, we've got like a family policy with, it's, I don't know if you have Bupa up your way or not.
Yeah.
So ours, we're covered by Bupa. It's like it's less than £30 a month, but it covers the three of us. And it's, yeah, invaluable. And like we had to use it for a minor operation, and it was like the NHS way was, well, which didn't even tell you when. And I think we were seen within 6 days or whatever. Not that, but £30 a month is a bargain.
and it's a business expense. It's all legit.
Yeah.
And we may as well do it. If health insurance, I think it is, not actual injury. I think that is part of it, like you say, is a bolt-on.
Yeah.
I don't remember the exact details, but yeah, something we probably need to all think about. And also on that as well, you get six therapy sessions if you wanted to, and 24-hour therapy sessions over the phone, free.
That's brilliant.
With our one, and that's all through the Chamber of Commerce, their recommended one. I think the Chamber is it £400 a year, like the minimum package that you can go on?
It all depends. All chambers are different. So
how are they?
Ours, we don't. We charge to be a member, but it's like £50 a year. Ours is quite small scale chamber in comparison to some. You know, there's a Chamber of Commerce in Norwich that's got about 25,000 members or something ridiculous.
Really? Jeez.
Yeah, but Norwich is a big city, so it's the same with Lincoln and stuff like that. So it's going to be. Whereas ours is, you know, we cover a sort of radius of only about 8 to 10 miles. So I think we've got about 150 members.
Still, that's good. Yeah, that's good.
But it's good because they're all local members, and out of them 150, I probably know 100 of them.
Or that at least know one of them. Yeah, that's good.
Like, do you from go a, to...
sorry, go on.
From a personal point of view, it's a lot better.
Yeah, definitely more personal. And you've got a role within that. Do you go to all the social meetings?
I attend all the local ones that I can. So we normally do like business talks every couple of months. We will have a speaker come in, various different backgrounds. Our next one we've got in November, we've got our local MP coming to do a talk, and then we've also got a sort of panel discussion as well. Local business, economy, growth, scale and innovation. So, yeah, we hold those every sort of couple of months, and then we do like our monthly meetings and stuff as well, and we have sort of informal chats and drop-ins and stuff. So that's good. I think it's worthwhile for anyone that wants to join a chamber. I think for the minimal amount of money that you'll pay for, just to be able to pop along to a local event, and even if it's the case, it might not directly affect your business, but you might find a plumber that when you to change a tap at home, they are worth it for what they are, really. They're quite, like I say, reasonable investments and into the business.
That's one thing I don't do when I go to networking. Number one, I find it quite awkward to step into a crowded room of business people. I don't feel confident, believe it or not. But I don't ever go there going, I'm going here to try and get loads of customers. I'd never, ever do that. And
No, I'm not.
Just naturally, I just go to find out about other local businesses in the area, see what they're doing, seeing if we could use their services. And we always seem to pick up new customers from doing it, from just going in that approach, because I don't like being sold to, really. I don't think anyone does, you know. So we just go in, and then people will just say to us, oh, do you have a card? We're looking for this, or my auntie's looking for this, or, you know, it just seems to always work without actually going there to forcefully sell our services, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, 100%. I think that's the way with any sort of networking. I always get asked to belong to like the BMI ones and all that sort of stuff, and they're not for me because I can't. My life doesn't capacitate me sitting in a hotel function room at 6 a.m. listening to someone talk about their business over a shit breakfast. But having a chat with someone and going, oh, what do you do for a living? Oh, I'm a baker, or I do this, or I do that. Oh, brilliant. Oh, we run a window cleaning company, or we run an exterior cleaning company. Oh, brilliant. Such and such, I know. And I think you sometimes have to look at the long-term effect of it as opposed to the short-term. So that one job where, you go and start cleaning the windows for the bakery on the high street, then the phone shop next to the bakery sticks his head out 3 weeks later and goes, oh, can you come and do mine on the next thing? And before you know it, over sort of 3 or 4 months, you've then got, you know, 5 or 6 jobs along there. And then you look at that as opposed to just that one conversation. That's it. Rather than, let's say, going into a room with your business cards armed and and they go, oh, fuck, not another one. I think sometimes it's just a better approach. And it's looking at companies and thinking to yourself, like, how can we complement each other's services? So you're saying about solar panels and stuff. I had a chat with a guy who installed solar panels, and they often get phone calls to clean them. They only install them. They're electric. So, you know, that's natural course path there. And, you know, the same with plumbers and electricians and any tradesman that's in the person's home. They'll always ask, oh, do you know someone that cuts grass? Do you know someone that clears gutters? Do you know someone that, you know, and I always say to people, you know, recommend me. If we get the job, I'll always, you know, chuck you some beer money.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, you're talking about paying like under a fiver for a lead, or a fiver for a lead. It's perfect.
I did actually, I know you weren't too keen by the sounds of it on the BNI networking. Now, I went to one years and years and years ago when I ran another business, and it was okay, actually. I haven't been back to one since. I kind of went as a guest, but I met a gentleman at another networking event the other day, and he was talking about the BNI in his area. It's not in my area, it's another county close by. But over, I think, the last 3 years, he's got £1.6 million worth of referrals, and he does car dents.
Wow.
They have a tracker that shows each lead, you know, how much revenue is generated. I mean, I thought, whoa, that's amazing. But I think it's very dependent on the size of the group and the type of people that you've got at that group. But I think their method is referral to each other, referring into the business, you know, referring leads to each other.
So I suppose, I guess, you know, like within your local group, if a friend's speaking to a friend and they go, oh, we need a plumber, you go, oh, I know, it works that way. I get the concept of it. I just don't like the messages that I get where it's, hi, Tom, hope you're well. Just got your leaflet through the door. We don't need this doing, but have you considered networking?
We've
got a group.
Okay.
And once we've done a leaflet campaign with like 20,000 leaflets, and I got like 5 of them messages, and I literally emailed back and I was like, you need to work on your lines because you're all saying exactly the same thing.
Really?
Like verbatim as well. And I think I'm all up for winning work and stuff like that, but there's the line that I think is just a little bit too sleazy for me. And again, I'm not a 6:30. I'm up at 6:30 in the morning, but I'm Yeah, to me, there's a lot better things to do than sit in a hotel.
If it got me 1.6 million, I'd do it, but till then, yeah.
Very true. I'm on the same
note as you. Tom, it's been great catching up. We'll definitely have to do it again soon, because I'm sure there's lots we've not covered and more we could have dived into, but we did say we'd try and keep this quite short today. We've gone well over. So I appreciate your time, mate. And people want to connect with you. I know you've done some previous episodes, but if they want to connect with you on socials or anything like that, what's the best way to contact you?
Best way is just look me up, Tom Navarro. Go through my personal profile. I'm on Facebook, I'm on Instagram. Always happy to answer questions and stuff like that, especially about people getting into the industry. Just try to give people some sort of realistic and honest advice.
Good stuff. Appreciate your time, Tom, and we'll catch up again soon. Awesome.